Over the last several weeks, we have been looking at the duties of elders, and this began as we were anticipating electing an officer, and we have done that, elected a new ruling elder. And we've continued to look at the scriptures and ask, what is it that elders do? What is it by which an elder is called to the work? And how does God work through this means? You remember we started in the Old Testament. We showed how the office of elder is something that carries in from the Old Testament. That during the time of the New Testament, it's not something new to have elders who rule in the midst of the church. But the ancient church as well had elders. And then we talked for a while about the qualifications of elders, and we looked at what the Apostle Paul gives as he sets elders apart, and we were encouraged from the Word of God even to pray for our elders and to pray that Jesus would provide elders for His church. And today, as we have read from John and have read again from Acts 20, we see the duty of elders. And as Jesus is restoring Peter, who had denied Him, Jesus focuses in on what that specific duty is. It's feed my sheep. It's tend my sheep. It's care for my lambs. Jesus Christ has given His church under-shepherds. And remember, we said they're called under-shepherds because Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the church. And He has set apart men to serve as under-shepherds to bring glory to God in the midst of the building of the church. Now today, as we look at what it means to tend the sheep or to feed the sheep or to tend and care for the lambs, we want to look at, in a more general way, what is it that elders do? You know, some churches will have elders and they'll seem as though they are board members, members of a board who merely rubber stamp decisions that either the pastor has made or decisions that have been made by another group. But that is not the biblical model for the ruling elder. But the biblical model for the ruling elder is really that of co-pastoring, coming alongside of the teaching elders or the pastors and shepherding the flock of God together. Now, in our directory for church government, we have a list of 10 duties for the ruling elder. 10 duties. And I'm going to go over those as our church government's understanding of what that means to tend the sheep and to care for the sheep. The first duty is active pastoral care of the congregation. So active pastoral care of the congregation. The ruling elders alongside of the teaching elder is to give pastoral care to the congregation. Recently, the elders in this church were having a discussion with another elder from a different denomination, and he was surprised that the ruling elders in this church knew anything about the lives of anyone in the congregation. And he says, it's just not the way that it's done in many of the churches. Often pastors will know what's going on in the lives of people, but as far as active pastoring, he said it was really quite different to think about elders participating in the pastoring of the church. We see that even in the scriptures, as Peter is called an elder and Jesus calls him to pastor and to shepherd the church, even during the time of the Reformation, there were many elders' manuals that were written to help elders to understand what it is that they do. One of my favorites is called Concerning the Care of Souls by Martin Bucer. And Martin Bucer writes this excellent book on how elders are to come alongside of the pastor and work and pastoring the congregation. And as we think about the role of the pastoring of the congregation, we know that this is a great role. It's something that includes not only the work that happens here on the Lord's Day, but it's work that happens in the homes as well. And it is a work that inquires into each of the home in the church. Questions concerning the marriage and the raising of children and the education of children and family worship and all of these things become part of what the job of the elder is, to give oversight, to know the way that the congregation is living and to help shepherd them along into the image of Christ and help them even on their way to eternity. So that there's an active pastoral care of the congregation. The second is not quite as exciting for many as the active pastoral care of the congregation. But the second is regular attendance and participation in session meetings. You think you go from pastoring the congregation, which seems like a great noble thing, to sitting in meetings and using things like Robert's Rules of Order. But the session meetings are very important times. They're not times where people just get to, men as elders just get together and have a business meeting, so to speak. But a lot of the shepherding and the way in which the congregation will be shepherded is decided within the session meeting. See, the elders come together and we pray. And we do something what's called constituting. And that's where we come under the authority of Jesus Christ and we pray and we ask for direction from Christ and from His Word to help in the pastoring of the congregation. Sometimes, as a pastor, people will ask me questions or they'll ask for decisions on things unilaterally. Well, Pastor, can you make a decision on this? And I'll say, I'll bring it to the session. I'll bring it to the session. And you see, that's not a cop-out. That's not because I'm afraid to make decisions. It's because the Lord Jesus directs His church through the elders as they come together. I've frequently had the privilege of talking to men who are in seminary or men who are having questions about whether they should accept another call to pastor another congregation. And they'll ask me at times, what do you think I should look for as I think about where to go to pastor? And one of the first things that I tell them is to see what the session is like. What are the elders like? Because those are the men that you are working side by side with in pastoring the congregation. And if a congregation does not have elders that take their pastoring role seriously, the church will not flourish under the gospel the way that it is called to do. I've been known to brag about my elders and how each of them are gifted men in and of themselves, but when they come together in a constituted way, under the authority of Jesus, and all of us are bringing different gifts to the table and different life experiences and different wisdom, that under Christ, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to help in shepherding the congregation. And that's why regular attendance and participation in session meetings is so high on the list of things that are important for elders to do. Because a lot of the decisions and the way that the congregation will be pastored is decided in those meetings. It's really a planning and maybe opening a playbook to see how we're going to go about certain things in the life of the church. The third duty is involvement and oversight of the teaching ministry of the congregation, so that the elders help with the teaching and they give some oversight to the teaching. I am not separate from the session, meaning I'm not allowed to do whatever I want, and the elders just say, well, you know, there he goes. He's the pastor. He's allowed to do that. You may not believe this, but we actually have an elder that reads a number of commentaries on the things that I'm preaching on and does what he would say, keeping me honest, and will ask questions about the sermon based on his reading of the scholarly material as well. And that's important, because the pastor is not supposed to be the one that just has the right to say and do as he pleases, and elders just, as I said, rubber stamp. But they are to be the ones that make sure that the teaching is encouraging the congregation, and that the congregation is being built up in the ways that they ought to be built up. And of course, the elders also participate in other aspects of teaching as well. That occurs in the Sabbath school room. It occurs from house to house as counsel is given, and other ways of teaching. We had in this congregation an elder who famously for many, many years taught Sabbath school every week, and I refer to the podium in the Sabbath school room as his podium. You know, that's what when I look at it, I call it by his name. I said, that's his podium. Because ruling elders do participate in the teaching of the church. The fourth duty is involvement in and oversight of the observance of the sacraments. The elders are to assist in baptism, and they are to assist in the administration of the Lord's Supper. And the actual administering of the sacraments is something, in our understanding, belongs specifically to the teaching elder. But those sacraments are administered together as the session. That's why, for me, it's important that when we have a baptism here, that the elders come forward and they all participate in the baptism. Or when we have the Lord's Supper, that the elders are the ones that are helping with the distribution of the elements, and they're the ones that have interviewed people who may desire to commune with us. But we see that the oversight and involvement in the sacraments is something that is very important for the elders to do. And again, that underscores that fact that we are co-pastoring the congregation, that the elders and the teaching elder, or the ruling elder and the teaching elder, come together to instruct and come together to bring the congregation along in godliness. The fifth is training the whole congregation to mature discipleship. So discipleship is something that belongs to the session. And again, we go back to Jesus and Peter. Peter, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, tend my flock. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Peter, feed my lambs. The discipleship of the church belongs to those who are set apart as the elders of the church. In Sabbath school recently, we have talked about Matthew 9, where Jesus has compassion on the ancient church and his compassion on the ancient church or the church during his time. His compassion was because the people were hurting and they were helpless and they did not have teachers. They were not being discipled. They were free to wander as feral sheep. They were not flocked and shepherded properly according to God's word. So God says to those who are called the elders, feed my sheep, tend my sheep. And that, of course, takes understanding of God's word, and it takes understanding of our doctrinal standards, the theology that is taught within the scriptures. But at the same time, it takes an understanding of who is in our congregation, to know what are those needs that the families have. What are the further instructions that people need? Does this family need counseling in this area? Or I heard this husband and father talking about this doctrinal error, and we should correct that so he doesn't pass it down in his home. And it's both those things. It's both doctrine and life. And the elders are to be discipling the congregation in those things. Friends, this is something that we do take seriously in our session. And this is something that was really driving us to say, we need another elder here. We need someone else to come alongside of us. Because of the understanding that we need to go deeper and wider as Jesus has blessed us as a church. And we were in need of that help as well. When the Ashley kids were here and younger and not in college, they would love when I would quote Brockle in the afternoon services because they loved hearing his name, I'm sure. But Wilhelmus of Brockle has this great quote. He says, among the converted are little children as well as those who have made spiritual progress. Each one of them desires and cries out for food, for milk, and for a piece of bread in order that his spiritual life may prosper. Everyone opens his soul and longs for a strengthening and encouraging word. You have bread and wine at your disposal, and the Lord has sent you to strengthen and encourage them. How could you bring yourself be due to laziness or carelessness to let them die for hunger by not giving them food which the Lord Jesus entrusted you to do on their behalf? Friends, I am afraid that we live in a time where many of Jesus' sheep that are precious to him, are starving in their congregations and starving to death for lack of discipleship and shepherding and teaching and instruction. The sixth is ministry to the erring and the lost. Martin Bucer, I mentioned earlier, he says, the lost sheep are those whom God has elected to his kingdom, but do not recognize Christ our Lord and are entire strangers to his church, whether they are baptized children or not. This alienation from the flock of Christ and going astray in the case of many comes from their getting so deeply involved in the affairs of the flesh that they have no respect for God or his kingdom. And when they are invited to the marriage feast and to the great supper of Christ, they say they have other things to do. One bought a field, one's trying a new yoke, the third has taken a wife. You see, the erring and the lost, that's part of the role of the church, to look around and to say, who is moving away from the kingdom, whether that's by conversation or whether that's by lifestyle or choices that they've made. And that takes a certain ear, because people that are erring or straying usually don't come up and say, hey, pastor, let me tell you what's going on. Or come to the elders and say, you know, my life's a mess right now, and the reason why is because I'm trying to walk away from Christ. You know, the people that come to us and say those things are those that are trying to draw near to Christ, not those that are trying to pull away from Christ. So the elders need to have an ability to look around and to know the flock and to know what it is that the people are struggling with, to reach out to a young man and say, "Brother, we didn't see you in church last week, and yet we noticed your pictures on Facebook. You were at this place or that place. Let's talk about that." Or to say to a family, you know, maybe a husband that's working long hours and the children are saying things like that their father's not around much, and you just know that the kingdom is not central and you need to draw them in. Friends, this is part of the ministry to the erring and the lost. It's not just work out there. You know, we know we live in a lost world. There's a great lost world around us. But sometimes we tend to forget that the erring and the lost are within as well as without. The seventh duty is visitation to the sick and to the needy. James 5 says, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him." The word elder here shows us that in the ancient church, in the New Testament church, there was a medical ministry that happened within the church. You know, James that talks about the anointing with oil by the elders and the prayers of the righteous man and how they are well. And that is not some charismatic understanding of oil ministry. That's an ancient medical understanding of oil ministry. Medications were very expensive, and the church, most likely through the deacons, would have held on to medications, and when those things were needed, if someone was sick, it'd be the elders that would go out and they would pray over them and at times administer medication as necessary. But still today, the elders of the church are called to come and to pray when someone is sick. And we've been known to do that. We've gotten calls for the elders to come. Pastor, my wife is sick. Can the elders come? And will they pray over us? And we've done that. And we hear thank yous. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, elders. My wife is better, or my child is better. And we don't have to pretend to understand the theology of all of it, but understand that it is a promise that is given within the Word of God, that the elders are to go and they are to pray when someone is sick. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, every time you get a cold, you should call for the session to come and pray over your Kleenex box. But if there is sickness that has hit the home, the elders do come and they minister to the sick and to the needy. Yesterday we had Olive's funeral, and in the last week of her life, as I visited with Olive, I made a call out to the elders and I said, "Brothers, you need to go see Olive this week." And they set up their schedule for how they would go and spend time with her as she moved from this life into glory. And that is an old-fashioned way of ministering to a flock, but it is a great privilege to be able to be with those as the Lord calls people from this life to the next. The eighth is a dedication to the advancement of the whole church of Christ. This is probably my favorite of the requirements of the elders in our book of order, because it's sort of like, if we forgot something, we got it covered under this. It's dedication to the advancement of the whole church. Anything that we are supposed to do, it is to be done by the session and under the authority of the session. You see, the kingdom of God is to be the desire of those that are called to be elders of the church. They're to be men that have a concern for the kingdom, and they're to be churchmen. And that means that they desire to see the kingdom of God growing in many areas of life. Our Reformed Presbyterian Testimony, chapter 25:2, describes the mission of the church, and it's really helpful as we think about those things that the session or the elders have oversight over as they minister. It says, "The mission of the church is to preserve, maintain, and proclaim to the whole world the gospel of Jesus Christ and the whole counsel of God, to gather into her fellowship those of every race and people who accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and promise obedience to Him, to build them up in their most holy faith and train them to be faithful witnesses for Christ in all His offices, to maintain the ordinances of divine worship in their purity, witness against evil, and in every way seek the advancement of the kingdom of God on earth." See, this is one of the beauties of having ruling elders and teaching elders that come from different backgrounds and different understandings of their work and what they do and different experiences, and they come together, and often people in general will have desires or things that they love that go off in one direction. And if you get elders that come together that have different desires in different areas, you see that the kingdom is able to come around that as we're doing the work of ministry in different areas of life. The ninth is regular participation in the higher courts of the church. See, elders have duties to the session, as we've said, the session being the gathering of the elders in constituted court. But because of the fact that we are Presbyterian and we believe that Presbyterianism is taught within God's Word, we understand that there are levels of courts within Christ's church. And what makes up those levels, whether it's the local level, which we call the session, or the regional level, which we call the presbytery, or the national level, which we call the synod, we understand that at each of those levels, they are manned by elders. And ruling elders here are called to participate in the higher courts of the church for a very practical reason. You do not want only pastors making all the decisions in the church. Often the pastors are not the ones that think about things from a strictly practical way. In the courts of the church, the presbytery and the synod, it's usually the ruling elders that bring a more practical approach to how the work of the church is done. And of course, it's theological and it's biblically sound and it's reformed through and through. But ruling elders and teaching elders come at the work of the church from two different angles. And you want a good representation of both of those in the courts of the church as the kingdom of God is advanced. And the last, tenth, is meeting jointly with the Board of Deacons periodically for evaluation and growth in the ministry. So meeting with the deacons. You see, the session is the governing body over all the work of the church, including the work of the diaconate. And the deacons, as we will see in future sermons, the deacons are given that work that we would call physical, or that work that is ministry in mercy focused, or in financial areas focused. And the sessions work is spiritual in a different way. So we will do the counseling and things like that, but if there's a financial need, the deacons work with that. Now, we have a holistic enough understanding of humanity to understand that those things often overlap, don't they? Usually if people are having financial concerns, there's a spiritual element to that. And if people are having needing instruction in things like jobs or how to do taxes or those real practical things, there's often a spiritual element to that. So meeting together, coming together as boards in the session overseeing that work, gives a more holistic view to the ministry within the Church of Jesus Christ. So these are the 10 duties of the ruling elder according to our standards. We see that the Apostle Paul says that as he was leaving Ephesus and he gave that work over to the elders to do, we see this sort of stuff. We see the pastoring and the care and the love of the Church of God and the desire to see the kingdom of God built being given from the apostles over to elders. And we see this sort of care in those very special words that Jesus spoke to Peter as he's saying, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, tend my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. These are the roles of those that would rule in the church as ruling elders. They are to be the ones that tend the sheep and to feed the lambs unto the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.